Hey, this is Threat from NIP, and you're listening to TCR.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 51 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, February 22nd, 2017. The time, 8:50 exactly. PM, that is. We have a pretty good show for you today, if I'm not going to lie. In my personal opinion, it's probably the best one yet. The milestone of episode 50 is wearing off, but we're still riding strong. I'll be your captain on this tour of esports, Tour de Esports. My name is Tim, but my co-pilots, my rocks, my first mates, Lover One and Lover Two, the Brown Sugar, the White Knight. We have Brett. Brett, hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
We got a Nuge.
Hey, buddy.
You boys ready for 51?
Yeah, let's do this thing.
Born ready.
Well, good, because we had DreamHack Vegas happen last week. We want to give our thoughts about that. We're not going to break it all the way down. I feel like that gets kind of old, and there's tournaments every week. It's not like things are changing that much, but we do want to give our thoughts on that. I want to introduce a new segment called The Salt Mine later on, a safe place where any of us can just have a retort, basically bitching, just complaining about things, but it's a safe place here in TCR. But as always, I want to start the show off with a little bit of e-news. Our weekly segment for news that just doesn't quite make the cut to be a full segment. Starting with e-news, I have for you what? Want to start with some Call of Duty?
Do it. Yeah.
All right. So we have Call of Duty here. They actually just last episode, you know, they did their MLG Atlanta Open. Well, Call of Duty just did their Paris Open in Paris, where Optic Gaming was able to avenge themselves, taking the grand finals against FaZe. They 3-0'd them. That's after they already 3-0'd them once in the winner's final. So Optic Gaming is back in full force with that. And we actually did not know this, but did you guys know that MLG is doing an event here in a couple weeks in Dallas?
Yeah, you know, could be exciting. You know, I'm kind of out on COD, but you know what? I'll give it a shot. I mean,
it's I will watch now. It. There's no way we're going to it, though.
No.
That is, I looked.
Hey, maybe.
Those are not cheap. Cheap for COD.
I look for any excuse to get out of the house.
No, this is true, but I'd rather just go to a Nuge's new house and watch it.
Spoiler alert.
That's right. A Nuge bought a house. That's where we'll do all our LAN parties now.
Soon.
So, I don't know. That will be here next week. That's kind of, or not next week, but coming in March, which March is a busy month for us anyways. We have DreamHack Austin in next time. I'll be in Detroit. There's lots of stuff going on.
I'm happy that it's coming to Dallas, though. We're definitely excited about it. It's just not something we play that often. Also, no. It's gone away from its roots, like we all kind of talked about a little earlier, but I am excited it's coming to Dallas. Just That's more right. publicity, more to the area.
That's right. Misfits, getting away from COD, that is. Misfits acquires a Vainglory team, Fates Zero. Vainglory being the MOBA, the tablet MOBA. I want to talk, no, we're not going to talk about it this week, but I think next week, Anuj will be out. He will be working, in quotes, as he goes to what? Cancun?
Bahamas.
Where is your work sending you?
It's Bahamas. It's a President's Club trip, so it's like a vacation.
I don't even know what that means.
La-di-da.
Doing pretty decent. They send you somewhere nice, let you have fun for a week. Must be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, well, our job doesn't fire us, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that I want to talk about mobile esports. That's going to be next week because these organizations, man, this is after some other big teams bought into a Vainglory team. It's foreign to me. I don't want to poo-poo the idea of mobile esports. I don't stick my nose up at any esport unless you're the NBA trying to create a ridiculous league. But I want to talk about that a little more.
Yeah. See if it has staying power.
Hey, I played Farmville like a lot early on.
And this is true. That got pretty real.
What about the Simpsons game? Man, that was like hardcore.
That's a weird bat and brag, bro.
Put about $10 into it.
Now, one thing that is on the horizon, and I actually, this is weird because just a couple days ago, there was an article, or not an article, but a post on the esports subreddit talking about H1Z1 as an esport. Is it a viable option? A lot of people, or I say a lot, like the three people that post on that subreddit said, no, it's just, it's too different. It's kind of niche. However, just recently announced that H1Z1 will be having on April 20th, blaze it, will be having a tournament, a 300K tournament.
On that's the CW, going
to be,
right?
Yes, it's going to be broadcasted live on CW.
So when do we start practicing, boys?
You know what? I love it. The game is fun. They have to polish it. You get tournaments, right. The game, hopefully they get more money. You need private servers eventually at some point. But, I mean, it's a fun game. We all really enjoy the game.
It's fun.
It's fun when you're playing with friends. It's frustrating.
Now, this is a 5-on-5, right?
It's a 5-on-5, I think.
Or like fives do, you have like five.
No, yeah, give me a second here. 5v5, 15 teams. So what's that? Someone do the math.
A lot.
A lot of players.
Don't ask me to do math.
It's going to be on CW. This is not the first time, though, CW has ventured into esports. Last year, they did a Mortal Kombat show for the Mortal Kombat League, whatever they call it. I forget. And that was, it actually did really well. It pulled in some good numbers. I think it was like around the 400,000s kind of concurrent.
That's thing solid.
For as far as it being in the certain demo that you want to be. So CW has ventured into it. This is going to be live, though. The Mortal Kombat thing was not live, if I remember correctly. It was kind of a recap. This is live. Everything there.
Are you going to watch?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Dude,
for sure.
Esports on TV, I'll watch. Like, I'm not a big League guy at all, but if League of Legends was on TV, I would definitely watch it. I support esports on TV, no matter what the game is.
Are you excited about
it?
And
I do like H1Z1. Right. I do. I want to see how pros play it, because I'll tell you what, when I play it, it's probably not... There's zero strat. It is...
You're not dropping those 30 bombs like you do in CS?
No, no. We might make it... Me and Brett do two-mans all the time, and... What, we'll go an entire game without seeing one person because it's our play style. It's we will sit in a house until the smoke moves in and then slowly work our
work
way,
way forward.
Oh, yeah, we're vultures. We pick up the scraps that people leave behind and then move on. So I am interested to see how a competitive, and it's only 1 hour. It's a 1 hour match.
Oh, good.
Right. So there is a time clock to it in the sense of I'm kind of curious to see how pro H1Z1 is. And that is, again, April 20th at 9 p.m. Eastern.
How many people are normally in a game? Like 100 or 150?
It's like 163.
Yeah. Did you do the math?
It's like 165.
It's 75, yeah.
75?
Yeah, so it's like, what? I think it's 100 people in a normal game. Or 150, I mean.
I wonder
if
there's going to be different settings or anything for being pro.
That'll be neat. I'm glad they picked it up and are giving it a chance. I mean, I know Echo Fox got involved with that a little bit also previously, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So... I think there's interest
there. According to this article on PvP Live, some of the teams that have already been announced to join is Echo Fox, Rogue, Panda Global, and Denial. So, I mean, that's notable franchises being involved with an H1Z1 tournament. Live on TV. I don't know if any of the Counter-Strike fanboys are a bit bitter that, you know, look how much work it took to get Counter-Strike on TV. And then H1Z1. And
you pick up anything that's trendy.
Well, I think CW definitely has the room for it, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are they going to do? Not show replays of the Arrow?
Well, One Tree Hill.
I don't know that show.
Move on.
I mean, that was like back in high school. I don't think...
I haven't watched the CW since then.
The young listeners do not know what One Tree Hill is.
Back in high school for you, it was college for me.
Well, okay, that's even him. I'm the youngster on this show, man. No, so that's pretty dope there on April 20th. Be sure to check it out again. Esports on TV. Support it. no matter what it is. Now moving on to CSGO, which will kind of just morph right into our discussion as far as the coach's role in CSGO, because before it was always, what was it? Well, now you have certain tournaments kind of defining that role. Peacemaker is, for now, staying with Optic through Katowice as their coach. Same thing with Hiko, right? Hiko is not officially on the roster. He's trying out, filling in, whatever word you want to use. And that's both through Katowice. So, my question to you both, DreamHack just finished. You just had the E-League major not too long ago, so we've seen both sides of this coin now, where any Valve-sponsored tournament is not having coaches in-game. They can only speak, Brett, refresh it, you know
only,
it more.
Only during timeouts and halftime.
Okay, yeah, so not even like between
Valve
rounds.
No, not even between rounds. No. Yeah, only during timeouts and halftime.
Man, and how long is halftime? I've never
minutes.
Yeah, I've never yeah, given it yeah.
2-3 minutes. I don't
thought
know
to
long.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
So they're really out of it. They're kind of more or less managers, if you will, in Valve sponsored, if you want to kind of use it in that outlook. Coaches are more managers. Well, DreamHack just ended where they could be a shot caller. A lot of teams would use a coach as an IGL.
Yeah.
So where do we stand?
All right, so here, I think there's a happy medium when it comes to this. And you can kind of, in my ideal scenario, I would compare it maybe to football, NFL, where coach can talk to the quarterback pre-snap, and then, you know, it's radio silence after that. Same with Counter-Strike. Why not? During play, during the round, coach can't talk. And then, you know, after a round's over, you know, you have that time. Let him get his words in, let him get his, you know, the strike calling in, and then, you know, also let him, you know, still let him talk during timeouts, still let him talk during halftime, but let him talk between rounds. And the reason why I'm against the letting the coach talk during the round is because I would like to think that everyone's staying legit, but the coaches are facing the crowd. And, you know, even at DreamHack Austin, you know, when someone's about to peek a corner and you know they're about to get maybe like a 2K or something like that, the crowd reacts before the shot. So the coach can see that unless they're not able to.
Yeah,
in most tournament settings, the coach is able to see the crowd.
That dives down a whole different rabbit hole in the sense of like a Nuge. I know we have similar opinions on the whole should it. We like boxes because maybe you could put more of a double-sided mirror or tinted
like
windows
or something,
because
yeah,
we
yeah.
don't like the fact that a crowd can... Now, in normal sports, the crowd hype, crowd noise, that affects home and away teams.
Mm-hmm. It's never two screens
but
that you're looking at.
Right,
though,
but it's never like if someone's sneaking up on you, you know, I don't think a quarterback has ever dodged a sack because the crowd got loud because of it.
This
is different where
matter.
Someone's trying to do a rotation. And what tournament was it? Man, I forget what tournament it was. Not that long ago, though. I think it was an
where
ESL one.
Somebody sneaking up on
him. No, it's the signs.
Oh, that happened with VP. That was for VP's advantage, they were saying. It was, I don't recall the tournament.
Man, I forget, but it was, you had people sign saying A or B, depending on where they were going. And whether or not they're trolling and putting up the wrong bomb site or not, like, dude, that should have been locked
down. It was somewhere
down.
Where VP was more of a home team. And so they had the advantage because the fans were holding it up for them.
It
so I don't
should have been locked down in the
him.
Sense of where it's like, this shouldn't be happening. And I could understand to your point of the players might not even notice that because when you're playing a game, you're locked
you're
in
locked
and
in,
half
yeah.
of them are 2 inches away from their screen anyways.
Yeah.
But a coach.
Yeah, I could see everything.
Taking an eye on the stadium.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit on the other side of the fence on this. I'm a little bit more old school when it comes to this. I believe that the IGL is an important role in the game. And I like an IGL being a true IGL. So I'm okay with the coaches being able to talk during timeouts to make changes or adjustments that maybe he's seen throughout the game. I don't even like the pre-snap talking, though. I feel like it eliminates the role of an IGL, and it'll completely can change the meta of Counter-Strike itself, because then you can add an additional rifler on your team and maybe take out that IGL role and make it less important. So I like seeing some of the top IGLs perform and watch them call in game as they go. You had like Frauds back in the day,
right?
And, you know, now you do see it on teams. So I'm a little bit more on Valve's side of the coin here where I'm okay with you having a coach. They can train with you at your boot camps and help you come up with strats and strategize, and even talking during the timeouts to help make adjustments. But I do like the fact that they can't talk before or after every single round.
I am on both sides of the coin, and at risk of just playing devil's advocate to the point, I can see where Valve is coming from and being like, look, we want coaches being out of it. We, like you said, we want the true IGLs and we want the actual feel for it. And whatever Valve's reason for it is, you know, I get it. I can also understand, though, people's point of like, well, look, our entire roster was made up of our coach being IGL. You know, like you have coaches like Zeus that is a good IGL. And I could see where for the longest time, like Liquid, they tried the whole coaches being IGL. Yeah. It didn't work out for them. But I could see why some teams would prefer that. I like when I think of a coach in esports, and we're using Counter-Strike as a reference. But I mean, you have coaches in everything, you know, in Dota, you have a lot of, you know, like picking the picks and everything in a MOBA. Or I remember back in the days of Halo and Halo 2, dude, the coaches were essential. I coached a few teams, quotation marks there, where at LAN parties and stuff, where, you know, you got four buddies playing. It's like, hey, I'll be the coach, which is AKA, I'll be the fifth man. I'll be that extra, the eyes that you might not see. Like for instance, in Halo, it was a lot about like map control and weapon spawning control. And like, so the sniper, the second the sniper ran out of ammo and was dropped, you would have like 30 seconds to do so. There's two microphones near you, Brett, as you look confused.
Oh.
Yeah. Man. I think I just have a little bit more of the old school mentality.
Yeah, no, I get that. But like in Halo, they would time it out, and like they had clipboards with,
they could really like give you the exact moment. Yeah. And I love the strategy aspect of it. So I'm all about having the coach on the team. I just want to see an IGL be like the guy and like carry it that way.
All right, but having a coach being able to talk a little bit more doesn't prevent someone from being a good IGL.
No,
taking it back to football. You got, you know, Tom Brady, quarterback. You got an offensive coordinator calling the plays. But that doesn't make Tom Brady any less of a leader.
And the best quarterback. What might work better, though,
call at the line too, right? You see them kind of like,
yeah. And I won't even use football for comparison. When I think of it, I think of basketball. You have your coach yelling from the sideline to do things,
yeah,
and then you have your playmakers. You have your
LeBron James,
yeah, your
Steph
LeBron
Curry's,
James,
yeah.
Steph Curry's the ones actually orchestrating what's going on the court. They can take their 2 cents from their coach. Or if they're like, look, I'm the man right now. I'm going to call this. I'm feeling it. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then I think that's fine. I think I like the more organicness of it, and that would involve them being constantly available to talk.
Yeah. So
it'll
he's
be
team
interesting.
Valve. He's team Valve. Your team, DreamHack.
I'm both. I can see both.
And then there's a middle. I just feel like there's a middle ground, you know? A happy medium.
I can see why Valve is doing it. I like the more organic flow of having the man involved. And
I'll tell you the good thing about this is still a fairly new esport, it feels like, right? It feels like Counter-Strike kind of started over with Global Offensive, even though it's been around forever, right? Even the last two years. Yeah, right?
This really picked up.
I think the game still feels fresh enough to the public audience where making a rule change now is like okay, right?
Yeah,
like,
Valve has never had to experience as much public backlash to changes as they've had in the last 2 years.
Oh yeah, because players were bitching.
Yeah, awesome. Because people have made their rosters, like you said, based on it. But that's, the game is still new enough in the esports scene where if they want to make a rule change, teams will adapt quickly.
Right, and somewhere where I don't agree with Valve in the sense of, I remember when their statement came out of saying, "Hey, no more coaches for, you know, our events." And their reasoning was, or one of their reasonings was, because they designed Counter-Strike to be a 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Our competitives are 5-on-5s. Our casuals are 10v10s because it makes no sense and we hate you. So if we can't have a coach in competitive mode, we don't want to do a coach and, you know, that
it's just
type
the way
of
it's always
there.
Been.
It's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that because, look, pros are completely different. You know, there's also different settings in pro matches compared to competitives and all that. It's just different. So I don't know. I don't agree with it as far as that excuse goes. To say that, well, it's a 5v5 game.
Team
it's
Valve
not.
Always wins. Remember that.
Well, they They will. I mean, it's their events. You know, Lord Gaben will definitely have his final say in anything. So, I don't know. I think it will be interesting to see. I think you're right. Valve is always going to win, and you won't see a change. We've seen it with, like, the banning of iBuyPower, right? Like, how many times have people been like, oh, they're gonna play again. Valve is gonna lighten up this year, guys. It's been almost 2 years. Oh, it's almost been 3 years. Like, they're gonna lighten up. They're gonna lighten up. No, they won't.
No, and on top of that, you know, kind of bringing up the same topic here, but with the IBP ban, there's other leagues that could technically allow them to play, and play in the game, but they choose not to because Valve has made its stance on it, right? And they don't want to isolate themselves.
If you want to think about it. Any league, I mean, they could even play in DreamHack for the most part. It's just no team will have them because as soon as it gets to a major,
they can't do it.
Then you're done. So, say for instance, Cloud9 picks them up, you could play with them all the way up into a major. And then it's like, well,
they're still banned from a lot of, like, I think ESEA they're not, but there's a lot of tournaments that they are. Otherwise, they could just form a 5-man team, be unsponsored, probably good enough to still compete as a tier 1 team with. If they even had 3 out of the 5 and picked up 2 others.
I'd watch that.
Oh, yeah. I think anybody would at this point. So all I'm saying is when it comes to that is Valve generally has their way, and they'll force the hand of some of these tournament organizers to keep it their way.
It's going
to
be interesting. Yeah, because I get the feeling the players want it the other way around. You get that feeling.
Valve doesn't care what the player wants.
No. No, I think it's a give and take, but for DreamHack, like we've seen it. This, like, for Vegas, they use the coaches. I would like to hear from the players who just went to the major and see if there was a real difference, or like, how do you practice differently or anything like that. But speaking of DreamHack Las Vegas, it just happened last weekend. Everyone knows VP ended up taking that one against SK 2-1. It was a awesome tournament, very good plays. I mean, the fact that VP came second in the major, and some old man trash talking on Twitter, which is always entertaining to see him trash talk, just because it's like, man, we're almost the same age, but at the same time, they're also like a dad, so it's kind of funny to see. It was a good tournament. I mean, what was your guys' thoughts just overall on DreamHack Las Vegas? I mean, obviously, to point out the obvious, the crowd, that was an issue.
I guess
there was no crowd,
but you know what, and I've told you this several times, since I have been to Vegas twice, I could think of 100 other things I would rather do in Vegas than go and watch a CS game. If I was in Las Vegas during that event, I would go watch the semis and the championship, but there's so much to do.
It would be hard pressed. Like, so for example, we went to Austin, DreamHack Austin last year. We're going this year. It's going to be like our yearly guide trip. We're going to go to Austin for DreamHack.
Come and find us.
Yeah, for real. If you're going, let us know. But it's Austin, right? Like, it's cool. We can still hit the strip at night and get pizza and get schwasted, and Brett gets asked for drugs.
Because I look like a drug dealer.
It's awesome.
Tim is face down in the bathroom in the night.
The guy that was hitting me up for drugs. And let me preface this: I'm not a drug dealer. All right.
Just looks like a 30-year-old drug dealer at a college party.
But he got his at the end of the night.
Oh man, did he ever! But it would be hard pressed for me to be like, "Yo, bros, you want to go to Vegas for the weekend? Oh, by the way, do you want to sit and watch a Counter-Strike tournament or anything?" For like 9 hours every day. Like, no, it don't even include Counter-Strike. Football, right? Like, do you want to go to a football game every day for 9 hours?
You know, I've like, kidded, you know, like, no. Because they're, you know, that hockey team is going to be in Las Vegas now, and I'm like, you know what, I'll go and watch a hockey game. You know, it's hockey in Vegas. Let's
3 hours out of your day.
Yeah, it's 3 hours, right? Yeah. So I mean, that, you know, I could do that, but oh my god,
I think this was just cool for the players. And
was,
like,
yeah,
the name,
the
brought.
Scene was awesome. Now, I do want to throw this out there, okay? Because I know a lot of people are saying it was. I haven't found one attendance count yet. Because towards the final, it started to look a little full,
but still pretty empty.
Yeah. Now, the MGM Grand Arena where they were playing at does hold about 17,000. Okay,
that's a lot.
It's a lot. Like, that's asking a lot to sell out. Then, like, for example, MLG Columbus, which I was there. I was in Columbus in person to watch it. We flew up to go see it. That had roughly a little over 10,000. I would say anywhere from 10 to 12,000 people were there. Now, what they did, it's like a normal like hockey arena or basketball arena, like the American Airlines Center, and they cut it down long ways, like hot dog style. So you have half the stadium being used. That was full. Like, that was to capacity, half the stadium full.
What's the second best thing you can do in Columbus besides watch Counter-Strike?
Well, but it's, I mean, it's kids can go. The majority of the people, I know someone in our Discord, which you can join, by the way, go to our Twitter, at the Center Ring. He did bring up the fact, the saying that like a recent study shows that the majority of esports fans are actually like 21 to 35. And I agree. I'm surprised by that, especially going to a live event. I believe he said that article was also including just viewership in general, though.
Yeah.
So that's a little skewed to when you're looking there. But even then, like we just said, like who's going to get a group of their buddies together? And then you go there. I know Evo, which is a huge fighting tournament that happens every July. That's in Vegas, and that will sell out the stadium. But that's been doing it for years after years after years. And we all know the fighting game community is weird. Like, they will totally go to Vegas to watch that tournament.
They're not going
to
hit up the Strip. Let's
no,
just say that.
They. I
no
mean,
knock
I love
on the
them.
Fighting game
no,
community.
No, dude,
because we
are
love
you
guys.
Kidding?
We're
part of
it.
The fighting game community is amazing. They are amazingly weird.
They're just a dedicated
yes.
bunch.
No,
yeah,
dude,
for sure.
They are. And it is awesome. But it's also like that is Evo.
Yeah.
Evo is Vegas.
Maybe they can build that over time,
you know,
potentially,
yeah,
but
right.
they'll
the
always get
time.
The big names to go.
It's the first time. Yeah. I will shut down the people saying that it's because it's NA. There was no NA teams in the stadium. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
And that bothers me because it's all about where you're holding the event. All right, so you go to a soccer match. See, I'm getting so mad that I'm
ripped
just throwing
off your
my headphones.
Man.
All right, you go to a soccer match and let's just pick Dallas. All right, national team playing in Dallas. I watched it on TV. There was nobody there. You go to Seattle, that place is packed, and they're crazy. It's all about where you're holding the event. Not all NA fan is treated the same.
We're a big country.
Yeah,
we're pretty spread out.
I can't wait for that event in Dallas because I guarantee you that it'll be packed. It'll be packed.
Are you talking about which one?
I'm talking about ESL.
ESL.
There was quite a few NA teams. I mean, you had Optic, Complexity,
but none of them made it to
Cloud
the stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
None of them made it to the stadium. But even then, though, I mean, no... Well, Liquid did in Columbus, but it's not like you buy those... You buy those tickets first before you even know who's there.
Yeah.
And I could tell you, like, okay, so no NA team made it there, but are you telling me that esports is to the point now where we're just not going to watch a VP versus SK finals because it's not NA? Like, no, we are not that casual yet. Like, if you watch Counter-Strike, if you watch Dota, you're watching because it's going to be a badass game.
You're excited for
the
best the
top
teams.
Players.
Yep. Yep.
You're not watching it for a team. We've discussed it. Half the people don't even have favorite teams. They just follow a player or the best teams, and they just want to see a good match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to say that just seems a bit odd to me.
It was just something else to complain about for NA.
I'll wake up early to see anything. Like, if I'm into it, I'll wake up and watch it. Huge Manchester United fan. I wake up at 7 a.m. on the weekends just to watch Manchester United games because I'm a fan. I'm going to do the same with esports. I'm going to wake up and watch those matches. I don't care what time they are because I'm a fan.
Right. So as weird as it was, it was actually really uncomfortable to see the the player introductions into the stadiums. Did you see them?
Yeah.
It was so uncomfortable to watch, like a little bit cringy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you could tell the players were like, this is ridiculous. Like there's like
just let us go
40 people here and it's just weird. You got all the smoke and confetti going everywhere and yet there's like... 100 people watching.
I thought the production, though, was pretty good, you know? And then I thought,
interviews, what can you do, you know?
Interviews that came out of there I thought were solid. There were a lot of good interviews that were done.
Yep.
And,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked it, you know, during...
I thought
Smix
did a really good job.
She did.
Dropping the F-bomb.
Dropping the F-bomb, which is so jarring, but all right.
So going back to the production value, I liked it. I digged it, you know, the lights and, you know, bomb explodes. You got the flames going up in the air.
That's a dream hack bit.
Yeah.
DreamHack loves to have pyros when the bomb explodes.
I dig it, though. I dig it.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I do, man. With Smix, maybe it's... I think it's what it is. So we don't really swear on the show or go too racy on here, but I work in radio. Like, one of my normal jobs is working on air and radio, so you just don't swear or anything like that. So when I see it like in esports, it's just so jarring. It's just it's a stop down to be like, whoa.
I saw that live.
Just and a casual F-bomb. Okay, Smix, I see you.
I know, right? You know what? And props to Dupree. Dupree just kind of ran with it. He didn't like look at her like, what?
It's a different world, man.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah, okay.
Different world. Right. Now, I did want to introduce this one segment here where it's called the Salt Mine. Okay, so bear with me. It's a new idea here, but it's basically where, in this instance, me, I can vent, retort, you know, whatever. But during the segment, I can basically just be as salty as I want and deal with it.
It's a safe place.
It's a safe place here.
And we also have that in a Discord, too.
Yes, we also have it in our Discord, the Salt Mine. Just go and rage all you want. So this is what I'm going to be salty about today, okay? In DreamHack, it was Cloud9 versus NIP. Okay, they were playing cash. This was the third of a best of two, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This was a winner-takes-all kind of bit here. All right. Round 19, the score was NIP on T-side, 11. C9 on CT, 7. Pretty close. All right. Things could happen. You know, economy breaks. Things can swing over. Cloud9 making it to the stadium. I feel it. I got my C9 shirt on. Sleeveless, of course, because that's how we roll. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's 3v1, right? The Cloud9 gets it. The only person left is on cash, A site. Freiburg plants it default. 3v1. Pumping my chest as a Cloud9 fan, especially knowing Brett is a NIP fan. And I already have my text locked and loaded. The second Cloud9 comes back, I'm going to shoot off like 20 text messages, just rubbing it in, right? And I think you knew this too. Like, I think we both knew, like, damn it, whoever loses this is going to hear about it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, stream's down. Okay. Stream's down. It happens, you know, whatever. Computer, maybe something, somebody hit something, right? It happens. Well, after about a minute, 42 minute delay, it actually wasn't that long of a delay. It felt super long when you were watching it live, but it really wasn't that long. The DreamHack crew did an amazing job to get everything back up and running. But basically what happened is they said that they lost power. The generators running their gear inside of the casino at the time straight up lost power. They had too much juice going into it, so it blew. So they fixed it, came back. By DreamHack rule, and this is where the salt comes in, just pouring on the salt. By DreamHack rule, they are replaying the round.
Rules, Tim.
It's a salt mine, Brett. All right, get your own segment if you want to justify it.
You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
They are replaying the round. It was a 3v1 bomb planted default, and they're replaying the round.
Yeah.
As shitty as that moment was, they had to like replay it, right? Like, what do you do?
You're telling me that we have the capability of completely going into any config folder and changing anything we want. Well, like, you could have had them start at the same exact locations, or there has to be something.
The smokes are probably popped at that point.
There is no way that all these brains get together in these top organizations and just think, you know what would be the best way to do this is just replay the round when it was a 3v1. And then just to add more salt into the wound, NIP came back and won that round. They had no business winning originally.
That's what puts us into this segment, now, obviously.
What is my solution? I don't care. I don't get paid to make solutions, but I am salty about it.
Yeah.
And you know what even made me more salty is when all the NIP fanboys on Twitter was like tongue in cheek going,
I guess that's just the rules. Rules are rules. That's how it goes.
And I'm like, oh, really? So that's how it's going to go. So you're saying if roles were reversed, all these NIP fanboys would just have been like,
well, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense that everyone was dead except for nothing and we came back.
But how do we know Freiburg doesn't...
There is no way I can tell you. No way that happens. I mean, Cloud9 had nothing Shroud and Skadoodle left. Skadoodle had an op. One was at truck, one was walking on top of cat, and the other one was going highway. There was no way Freiburg was just going
to put this in Vegas terms. It was like 100-1 odds that Freiburg's win this round, right? Like maybe even 1,000-1. But as he says, there's still a chance, right?
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you have to, like, in that situation, they could probably find the config, put them right back where they were. That's not there yet. So the rule just seems like a basic gimme rule.
But that's I think that's my issue, is that it is such a cop-out. It is such a basic, let's replay it. Like, it's going to be inevitable that this happens again. Like, in esports, you know, the E stands for electronic. And you know what F's up? Electronics. Like, it's gonna happen where computers freeze up or computers die. Now, in ESL, they have the rule to where if any damage has been dealt, the round plays out. So, like, if someone drops or anything like that in an online match, the round plays out. No matter what, if damage has been dealt. And then there's also those weird, you know, it's a gray area where you leave it up to, like, one of the team that... So, like, if Liquid was playing Cloud9 and Liquid had a player dropped, well, then it's up to Cloud9, hey, what do you guys want to do? They put it on the team. Do you want to replay it or do you want to take the win?
Like,
which is really
an honor system?
Yeah, but it's kind of a dirty way to do it because it's completely... It's the tournament wiping their hands clean and being like, nah-uh, bro.
Have a rule.
You guys deal with this one.
Deal with the backlash.
Right.
It sucks, man.
Because this happened during long time ago. Luminosity. Do you remember? It was Luminosity and Liquid, I believe.
The admin got pooped on in this because he tried to, like, he let them make the decision.
Well, he let them make, but it was when the cameraman bumped into a computer. Am I remembering this correctly?
It was something, but they,
I might be getting two things mixed up here.
I don't think that's what happened in that case. Something happened where they let the players make the decision.
Right.
And there was a rule in place for it, but they kind of left it as a gray area.
The admins should make the decision.
Admins should make the decision. In this case, there was a rule in place for this happening. Right. Pour your salt, man. Like, I know it sucks. It's salty as hell.
It wouldn't solve any of the controversy. I know this, but I think it needs to go to a booth review.
And then what? They're going to go by the rule. The rule is replay.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Ditch that rule and go to a booth review.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, you're saying that, hey, who do you think would have won this round? Then you leave.
That's what I'm saying. It's not helping the controversy.
That's not how booth reviews work in any sport, though. A booth review is to go enforce the rules that are set. Is the guy inbounds? Is the guy out of bounds? Was it a catch? Was it not a catch? Did he hit a shot before the buzzer? It's to verify a rule that's already set. This needs to be the same and not go into judgment. What if it was Nico and it was a 3-on-1? You're going to change the odds a little bit? Like, hey, there's a better chance.
No, I would always give the 3-on-1.
No. Not that he's going to win it. Not that he's going to win it, but maybe the odds reduce from 100-1 to like 50-1 because it's the best player in the world right now.
You're going to get hard pressed for me just to be like, well, no, this totally makes sense that the 3v1 team just got screwed.
Here's the deal. I don't want to see this happen to any team, but I really don't want anything to be subjective to some dude that's watching a match and you know what? You would have won the round. I'm going to give it to you. It sucks. It really, really sucks. I feel for you, Tim.
I feel for me. My team didn't have to have a technicality to move on to the stadium.
Whatever, man. Now who's salty?
My team lost fair and square. We didn't need to... kill the power to replay around.
That's right.
I'm not convinced.
Just hit the switch.
Threat didn't run over there. Yeah, like who knows? I'm not convinced. Someone just didn't pull it.
Someone just pulled.
Yeah, they saw 3v1 and pulled it.
Let's get it over with.
Have we done the research on this? I don't know. Show me the numbers.
Threat was actually busy coaching in this event, though.
That's just if it was ESL, he could have done it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's
jokes
sucks,
on
man.
You guys. I figured it out. Like, everyone's talking about no NA teams in the thing, but I'm a fan of a team that never makes the stadium. So, I never have to worry about an empty stadium.
And I'm a fan of a team that is still struggling. So.
And they have to cheat, so.
Whatever, man.
More power to you.
Okay.
That's the salt mine, gentlemen. How was it?
I liked it.
I liked it.
I thought it was pretty good.
We need to do a better job of making a more safer place.
Yeah, I know. I felt like you guys were...
You can't go... like overly salty when one of the teams is Brett's team.
I felt like you guys were attacking me.
It was justifying. You said we could retort.
Yeah, it was more of a rhetorical statement.
Rhetorical?
Rhetorical statement.
Rhetorical. I'm sorry.
Look, I'm just salty that it happened to me, okay? That's really it. If it was any other team, like if it happened to Liquid, I'd probably just laugh and be like, damn, that sucks.
Well, welcome to the Salt Mines. Let well, us know what yes. you think of that segment.
You're free to stay. Also, you're free to join us on Discord. Go to our Twitter at The Center Ring. You will see the link there for all of our social media information and the Discord. You will have a Salt Mine section in there. You know, someone does you wrong, go ahead, bitch about it. It's your safe place. We also discuss Counter-Strike and life, and
we're playing games. You can join us at any time.
This is true. We're always there. We actually have a server now in CSGO.
Finally.
It's a little 10-man server. Just search up TCR. You should be able to find it there. Set for 10-man. You can also vote for a 1v1 map. We'll be in there from time to time practicing nades, throws, anything like that.
We're on the gear, boys. Get ready.
So if you want to, you know, join in on the server, maybe you want to look at some, you know, theory crafting some nade throws on Inferno. You know, hit us up. We will be able to do that and let you have that outlet.
Or if you got five buddies, bring it on.
Yeah, we'll 10-man all day.
Tim, what's your Twitter?
At Pirate Mushroom.
I like
go.
It.
Go
Thought
check
you should get some
out.
Publicity. You do a good job on here.
Thanks,
know?
Man. Thanks. And you are at SpiffyVR, and Brett is at Dallas Homer.
Spiffy underscore.
Oh,
VR.
Underscore VR. My bad.
Everything Whoa. Was taken.
You diva.
And the show's Twitter is at The Center Ring. Our website, www.tcr.gg. You can go there to check out all the latest episodes, latest YouTubes, which is the latest episodes. But hey, sue me, I'm not creative. There's a little contact us there. We would love to hear from you. That goes directly to my email, and I do respond to them. That's really all I got. We will be back next week for episode 52. When I say we, I mean Brett and I. We will discuss the mobile esports. We'll talk about
Rocket League, possibly.
Rocket League, some, you know, we're mixing it up next week because Anuj isn't here. So we can do that. He's not going to yell at us in the pre-show meeting and boss us around. So thank you again for listening. That was TCR, aka The Center Ring, aka your favorite esports podcast. Let us know what you think on Twitter again at The Center Ring. Until then, we will see you next week for episode 52.
Deuces.